One of the things, I don't know if I'm hearing this right, is you want to illuminate how focusing happens in a conversation with two people. Right now you're talking maybe from a little bit of a focusing, there's a piece of focusing background in it. We could be talking about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe, I don't know, Muti, or what we were talking about before. A kind of a halting quality that has, it just feels so right. And what you don't have when that happens is a part of your mind that's judging that, that's saying, you better get to something quickly. This person will lose interest, or you're speaking in front of a group. You need to, you know, come up with something. There's an ease that I'm noticing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then when you said, come to the, a word, that was actually mirroring what might or might not. People talk and they say, you know, I'm not sure what it is that I want to say about that course I took or that person. And then they stop. And this is so organic and so natural.
Yeah, yeah. So that's...
Am I saying
that? Yes, no, you're selling it beautifully. That's the part that I want to give the experience of.
Mm-hmm.
That part about slowing down,
mm-hmm.
that part where as the voice is slowing down, and, you know, as I'm talking, I'm also moving my hand slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not just that my voice is slowing down, but my whole organism
mm-hmm.
is functioning in a slower mode, which is the opposite of, oh, I'm so smart, I get it, mm-hmm. I'm clever,
mm-hmm.
this is it. It's, but that slowing down is about getting into a different rhythm. And that includes the pause, the not knowing, and the staying in, I don't really know what it is, and it's okay to include it.
Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate your moment-by-moment explanation, because now, even before I heard that, and it was enhanced by hearing your words, I was starting to slow down, and your hand gestures were wonderful. They just really inclusive, and I felt the kind of relational
mm-hmm.
experience. And so I was slowing down and not thinking, well, when's he going to say it, what it is, the
mm-hmm.
real thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the real thing. This
mm-hmm.
is what's happening.
Yeah.
And maybe we don't value it because we need to know and get to the point. And yet this is so rich and fulfilling to speak this way. It creates a sense of ease. Of course, you can't do this with everyone. You just sort of, if someone like you're talking to and they're kind of going, then you know, oh no, this is not the person who's interested in this. And so
mm-hmm.
then you change the subject.
Yeah.
And you talk
yeah.
quickly.
But so it's interesting that we started with the idea that we were going to create some kind of a demo of what it's like to get into this process. And actually, as we're exchanging about it, it's becoming an example of what it can be to have a conversation with somebody in that mode.
Yes.
And where it's not about arguing, it's not about I'm right or I have this point and you have that point, or we're exchanging factual information about this or that happened, but we're both noticing getting into a slower rhythm. And being in a slower rhythm and exchanging, and it's not so much necessarily the information itself,
mm-hmm.
but mm-hmm. is about being in that mode.
Yes, yes.
And that as you notice my being slower, you notice going in that slower mode, and I notice your slower mode, and it helps me go into it so that it creates a certain flavor of, you know, exchange.
Yes.
Where the goal is that kind of, or this, the byproduct is that kind of flavor.
Yes. It has, the word that came was listening, which can't really be taught. I mean, we try, we're teaching focusing in just the traditional way, but this kind of listening, without you're speaking about it and narrating and saying what you're observing, but in this mode with two people, they don't say it, they just do it. They just are. Mm-hmm. They're engaged. And there's a sense of, oh, a truth kind of comes from inside.
Mm-hmm.
Something that just, you say it because it's, as Jean said, there's a rightness to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rightness. And you know, it's not the paradigm of I'm doing it right or I'm doing it wrong. Not that kind of rightness, but there's a rightness organically, it comes out. And I think because of the listening, exchange of listening with two people.
Yeah, yeah. So where the rightness is about, it feels right, as opposed to it is right.
It's, oh, wonderful, yeah.
You know, and so, wow, yeah, mm.
Yeah.
So that sense of, you know, I'm listening to you, but I'm also in that slower mode, listening to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh yeah, yeah, right. You know, there's a kind of, yeah, yeah.
And you know what's so great? It's not about like, well, hi, how am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Not that kind of thing, but there's just a sense of ease and oneness with I'm feeling within myself and also in the relational quality, you and I'm talking. So the whole sense of often in a conversation, there can be a back narrative going, how am I doing? Am I saying something good? How's he? And that impedes, although that's a natural human thing, the way people have conversation. But this way, there's almost, I don't know why, I just thought of Groucho Marx when he had this program. You say the right word, some sign comes down. And it's almost like a sign came down.
Right.
And it was a peripheral. We kind of saw it. We didn't need it. And we're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Such an ease. It was just a confirmation.
Yeah,
you guys are, you get the prize. And I thought it was always some funny thing. But it's very rewarding and fulfilling. And I feel within this way, there's tremendous potential for creativity.
Mm-hmm.
This itself is a creative way.
Yeah.
And if you want, it's not as if you have to come out with something specific creative, but it sets the inner tone for creativity and hearing freshly, like the way I said, how did you say it? I said there's a rightness to it. And you said something.
It's not that it is right, that it feels right. Yeah.
Right. See, that I felt that came from a very creative way of listening. And I immediately, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the thought, oh, he is a better way of saying it. Because, you know, we all have that capability.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of not there and created more. Of course, it's creating a trust. But the creativity, I'm realizing the potential for it, it can expand beyond when we say goodnight, you know, our conversation. Recognizing
that
there's this way of perceiving reality.
Yeah. So something about, you know, that it's a mode, it's a way of being, but it's also related to not having that critical, that judgmental part. And that what we're doing in here is the sense of slowing things down and with the resonance Yeah, it's right. You know, internally and with each other, getting into that rhythm.
Yes.
So there's kind of a rhythm of yeah.
And it feels really genuine. By that I mean no pressure to agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's not that. It's really a lovely quality, a relational quality.
Mm-hmm.
Something arising.
Mm-hmm.
And just being what it is, really hearing it, taking it in. It's not delivered, it's happening organically, and appreciating.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciating the whole flow of the whole thing.
Right. And so maybe as we started, you know, with the idea that this is some kind of a demo for people to play with, maybe what this is suggesting is for people to find a focusing partner, a partner, and to experiment with a conversation where the idea is not to argue, but the idea is to find a flow, you know, the flow you were describing.
Yes.
And so in a way that would be the equivalent, say, if you play tennis, you're not playing a game, you're not trying to score points, but you're actually trying to lob the ball to the other person.
Yes.
So it becomes that sense of finding the rhythm where you find yourself going slower, where you find yourself resonating with the other person and with yourself.
My teacher, Joko, once gave a talk on, I think it was playing tennis with yourself.
Mm.
Something like that. I might have it wrong, so forgive me. But there's one thing you said that I find really interesting. You said, so you would have, you'd choose somebody who knows focusing, you'd have a conversation, not arguing. But what if arguing came? What if there weren't some rule in the beginning? So have, but don't argue. What if arguing came, and it wasn't seen necessarily as arguing after a minute or two?
Because
I think there might be a scary feeling when you're then some place where we're going across purposes and some way that we're separating and maybe some argument will. And then because of this natural ability, we recognize that and return to whatever it is we're talking about. Maybe it's redefined. It's not an argument, but we're just see it differently, whatever it is.
So maybe to catch with it is like it's not a question of trying to avoid you know, and be rigid about it.
Yes.
But at some point, you know, with that capacity that we're talking about of, you know, that listening to yourself, listening to what is happening, you catch yourself noticing that you're in a rhythm that actually is not that same, you know, slow, soft, resonating rhythm, but maybe it has more of a staccato quality. And so as you notice the rhythm, then maybe you kind of shift a little bit and you don't let yourself be guided by the words or the logic alone, but also by the rhythm.
The rhythm, yes. I really love that because that kind of the label of, well, this we could be sort of disagreeing, that kind of falls away, and what becomes much more important, much more organic, much more the sense of being here and present and the sense of well-being is the rhythm of it, more than, oh, well, this label and I don't want to go there. You know, something, we're not guided by the concept and what we might be saying. Calm, that word will calm the concept. And we can see it, and there's really not that much of an interest in going there because it's much more wonderful to be in the rhythm of the flow of being human.
So in other words, that there is a shift in what we're paying attention to.
That's right.
And it's not so much paying attention to the content, or not just to the content, but also paying attention to that rhythm and to that flow.
I think that that's the jewel right there. That is the jewel. And yet if we name it that way in the beginning, it would be too self-conscious.
Yeah.
It would not be real. It happens naturally.
Yeah.
We can let go of certain ideas and having to come up with some explanation.
Yeah.
It happens.
So what we're inviting people to do is maybe not even to think of it so much as, oh, this is an experiment in the sense that you have to do it this way or that way, but just to have some curiosity in a conversation where part of the idea is simply to make it part of the enjoyment with the person you're talking to, to say, you know, we're going to talk, whatever it is we're doing, but we're also going to somehow pay attention to the rhythm.
Yes.
And we might forget as we're doing it, but if one of us remembers...
That's right. We might...
You know, we'll come back to that, you know?
Yeah. If one person remembers, if the two people forget, that's just...
Too bad.
If one person remembers, then the other is, I think, naturally brought back into that rhythm. And the other word that's coming is intention. If there's an intention to speak and listen like this, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
But let's just say there's one person has an intention and the other person doesn't. How can that unfold? That would be...
So maybe that's a part where we just, you know, instead of in a way thinking of it as a how-to, to present this to people as saying, look, there's all kinds of amazing combinations that can happen, all kinds of things. And that what we're inviting people to do is to bring that curiosity of what it is that happens. So it's what we call process. But to just think of it as something that's going to be actually fun to observe or interesting to observe as you're in the middle of it.
Sounds very rich. I think just allowing that there will be conversations with someone who you're at cross purposes with. And the idea that as it's a kind of like an ego trip to say, well, I'm going to get them on this. What is that about? That's a very attached way of looking, and you don't really hear and see the other person. Just letting it unfold and with the idea that... look, this is what we're going to do, and you need to really get in this groove, in this mode.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.